community radio station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. Tasha Sims here, Conscious Living Radio, Co-op Radio in Vancouver. Special guest tonight, we're speaking with Sal Raquel. He's a world-renowned teacher, channel, healer, mystic, clairvoyant, founder of Timeline Healing, a powerful therapy for healing past traumas. He's the author of 5 books, numerous meditation music CDs, and the co-founder of Sananda Mystery School. And he's in Vancouver. Not only in our studio, but here to do a couple of workshops. We'll tell you all about them during this next hour. March 2nd is his introductory workshop on self-empowerment, and then he's doing an intensive 2-day weekend workshop on soul integration. And he's also offering private sessions. So hopefully over this next hour, you'll get a feel for what Sal's all about, and we'll tell you how you can contact him. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you.
Well, it's great to be here. This is my first time in Vancouver.
I know, and you land in the rain, and you come to the toughest part of town, for those who don't know where it is.
But
Hastings
we were in Los Angeles,
Columbia.
And there's a lot of far worse neighborhoods there.
So I know you work as a channel with guides, which I want to get into, called the Founders, right? How did you come to recognize yourself as a channel? Because I understand at the beginning you were a little reticent to go down that road. Is that true?
Well, I began in the 1970s. I was involved in the Silva method and meditation, and then I got into various types of yoga. And it wasn't until the end of the 80s that my personal spirit guide, Leah, came to me while I was in Sedona, meditating on the Red Rocks. And things started to go expansive from there. Later, I became familiar with the Arcturians, another group of beings from higher dimensions. And shortly thereafter, the Founders came to me. And the Founders are beings of pure light. They've never been in human bodies. They look like the bright blue-white stars in the Pleiades, in my mind. Of course, that's just how my mind interprets them. When you're that evolved, you can't really use the little human mind to try and grasp these things.
So can we dig into that a little bit? Because it's an area that's always, I don't even know if it perplexed me so much as I've discounted, which is the interpretation, this part of the little human mind that needs the label, needs the meaning, needs the story.
Well, that's both the blessing and the curse of all of this. I was kind of down on channeling before I started communicating with my spirit guides because I had read channeled material, and sometimes different channelers would contradict themselves. Some of them seemed airy-fairy fluffy, not down to earth at all. You know, everything is love and light and things like that. Meanwhile, people are suffering. So didn't really answer the deeper questions. And spirit guides, people don't understand. If you have an athletic coach, your athletic coach is not going to run the race for you. They may train you. They may help you with your mental attitude, your physical conditioning, psych you up before the race, but they don't run the race for you. So why would you expect your spirit guides to do everything for you? So I think a lot of people don't have the proper relationship with their spirit guides to begin with.
But you believe everyone has a individual spirit
everyone guide. Everyone has at least a guardian angel. Most people that I work with have maybe one primary guardian angel and one or two assistants. And then we also have shared angels, archangels, ascended masters, beings of light from different levels and dimensions that anybody can tune into if they can quiet their surface mind through meditation and do some breathing and practice. We can all awaken our psychic and intuitive abilities.
So is that part of our evolution to be that open, that we're downloading this material that's meant
Absolutely.
To support us?
Absolutely. The human race is not finished yet. Some people are a little pessimistic and think we're just about finished, but the truth is we are emerging into a new paradigm, as the show said, you know, new paradigms. We are emerging into one. And or several, perhaps. But the main approach that I'm using is to take what I believe, what I experience as a truth, which is that we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings. That is our identity, our true identity. And these little fabricated realities that we call the human ego or the human personality, that is an illusion. It only is as real as we believe it to be. And that's my definition of illusion. An illusion is only real as long as you believe in it. And as soon as the belief goes, the illusion goes.
And yet we're here to have a human experience, to bring our spirituality, our essence to that experience.
But modern physics has proven that we're not really separate. Yes, it looks like we're separate. This body ends here, that body begins there. Mm-hmm. But the non-locality principle of quantum physics is basically backing up what the saints and mystics have been saying for thousands of years. We are one. There is no separation. It is an illusion.
Mm-hmm. And so back to interpretation, because this is where, like, I go crunch. I really do, because it can go, it's almost like I keep saying, what I keep hearing inside me is it's called the great mystery because it's a mystery, not because it needs to be defined in terms of stories and identities and things. So tell me how you made peace with that, because...
Well, first of all, language is always going to be limited. If I say the word tree, you immediately get an image of a plant growing out of the earth with branches and leaves on it and everything. But that word tree is not the thing described. It's an idea or concept in our minds that refers to perhaps something growing out of the earth. And in spirituality, that's even more the case. For example, the word knowledge, there's a one way of describing that word to mean accumulated facts and figures. There's another way to say that it means enlightenment. It depends on what system you're dealing with. And so people get hung up in the semantics. And as a psychic clairvoyant person, the hardest part is putting what I'm receiving into words that not only make sense, but actually give you something valuable that's going to help you grow and evolve. Because that's my purpose, to help people grow and evolve.
So how do you prepare? Or do you prepare?
Well, I take a few deep breaths, and I do have a standard meditation that takes about 3 minutes, involving calling in my guides and making sure there's nothing negative in the space and things like that. It's become so automatic that it's like getting in a car. I just automatically fasten my seatbelt without even thinking about it. Well, it's like that with the preparation. I put protection around myself without even really thinking about it now.
Do you believe that each of us then, I think you said in our evolution, each of us have this ability? Can you do it without the story?
Well, that's it. That's like the big question. Because the story is only important when we're communicating with those who are caught in the story. But unfortunately, it's like Shakespeare says, we're all actors on the stage. We forget to take our masks off, you know, at the end of each scene, and we start believing we are the character that we're playing. I'm a teacher, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a therapist, whatever it is. And we identify with that, and that's part of the ego. That's part of this identifying with our story, our worldly personality. If I have a document like a passport, and I go around telling people that that's what I am, I am this document called a passport, people are going to look at me really funny. And yet that's kind of what we're doing in a way. We're identifying with a description of reality rather than the actual reality beyond the description.
And again, leaning towards, let's do the founders. Let's get to know the founders.
Okay.
And tell us how you actually got to know, because it's as if they've got a story.
Okay, well, in meditation, I started seeing these bright blue-white stars coming to me, and then I started hearing in my inner ear messages, you know, we are the founders, we come to Earth during the most pivotal time periods when there's the most transformation happening. We were involved in the engineering of the DNA. We were sort of like scientists checking up on our experiment. But when I say that, people go, oh, no, we're just a laboratory experiment. And they're quick to point out that that's not really at all what it is. But yet that's kind of the analogy that maybe we think about with our surface mind, our conscious mind is that we're kind of like an experiment, and they're checking up on to see how the experiment is doing. Because the DNA being the master program for these human forms, and they not only learned how to manipulate it, but they were involved in the actual creation of the humanoid form millions and millions of years ago.
To what purpose? Everyone wants to know, I'm pretty sure.
In order to experience in a tactile manner these lower dimensions. There's 12 dimensions in the model system that I use, and the lower four are referred to by many of the Eastern mystics as the realms of Maya or illusion or duality. There's various names for it. And it's not possible for a vast, expansive being to have a direct tactile experience of these lower dimensions unless there's a vehicle for experiencing them. And this body is that vehicle, and was designed to be perfect because everything in the universe has a certain level of perfection about it. However, we were created in the image and likeness of our Creator, and that means our thoughts and our beliefs are powerful. And a long time ago, we started identifying with these forms and this conscious mind, personality, ego. And the entire problem is our identification with materiality, not materiality itself. I mean, this is neutral. Yep. It's not good or bad unless we assign a value to it. Oh, I love my body. Oh, yep. I hate my body.
Right. Well, or feelings or thoughts. If you think you're your feelings, you're going to avoid them because they're overwhelming.
I should be feeling happy, but yeah. I'm feeling sad. And so there's this internal dialogue, this internal conflict.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
So knowing you're not your feelings, but you can have feelings because you're human.
Yeah.
Same with
feelings are not right or wrong, good or bad. They're just feelings, but we assign a value to them. Fear is just an intense energy that moves through the body. It's triggered by a thought, usually some form of I'm not safe, but it is just energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have labeled it as bad and wrong, and then we get stuck in it because we're judging ourselves for being in fear and so on. So we open up the whole psychological can of worms by judging ourselves.
So from your knowing, what would be one of the best tips you could offer our listeners in terms of developing this opening to a higher vibration, to a higher psychic ability?
Well, there's two parts.
Knowing.
One is the direct approach, which is to invoke or call forth higher beings, higher self, God, whatever you want to call the higher levels. You can use an invocation. I invoke the power and presence of my higher self. Come forth, beloved higher self, and share your love, power, and wisdom with me. Express yourself through me as me, etc. That's the direct approach. And the other is to find out precisely what blocks us or prevents us from living in that level of consciousness. And I can give you some prime examples. We live in a world of distractions. Almost everything in this world is designed to take us away from who we are. You know, most of us hate to be alone. Mm-hmm. We crave companionship. We want approval. We fill our lives up with busy things that aren't necessarily contributing to our awareness. And, you know, our society tells us buy this, buy that. Mm-hmm. We need more, more, more from the outside world.
There's no space, no stillness inside.
Exactly,
right?
because we're filling it up with our desire for more, 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 more money, more success, more love, more power, more whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes us away from ourselves. So the first step is to recognize that, to say, not with judgment and say, oh, you stupid schmuck, you got caught up in the world, you know, what's wrong with you? No. Not doing that, but just observing it from a neutral place. Oh, I have a chattering mind that's constantly thinking about the past and the future. I'm going to breathe, and I'm going to be fully present with my chattering mind. That's meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say is the difference, or if you could articulate a way to help people understand the difference between knowing something cognitively, mentally, and knowing it energetically?
Excellent question. It's something that I work with a lot. We are taught to glorify the mind. And most of the successful people in the world have learned to use the power of their imagination and their creative thought. But our real power exists more in the heart and solar plexus. The solar plexus is the center of personal power and personal will, and the heart is the center of love and compassion. And when we center ourselves in our heart and solar plexus, we feel the reality that our mind is trying to describe. In other words, you can feel a tree without having to think, oh, this is a tree. It has leaves in the summer, and maybe they drop off in the fall or whatever. But, oh, there's a presence. There's an energetic presence, which we call a tree, and I can feel that energetic presence. Regardless of whether I go up and hug the tree, I know there's a lot of tree huggers in this town.
There are.
I'm an admitted tree hugger.
Keep going with that, though. I like it.
Yeah, and so in our personal relationships, the same thing. I have been blessed that there have been moments, it's not all the time, but there have been moments when all the barriers have dropped away between me and another person, and I've just felt what we could call the presence of God or the oneness with another person. And that's when the mind falls silent, which it does. However, trying to make the mind fall silent doesn't work so well. That's like trying not to think about a pink elephant. You know, right. You have to use a different approach. And one approach is to imagine there's a watcher that's totally outside the mind that's simply watching and observing this drama unfolding on Earth. Like you're up in a spaceship circling the Earth and you're looking down at your little self down there on Earth, going through your little life with its little dramas and traumas, but who you are is up here observing it. That approach does work if it's followed through, you know, with some kind of discipline. It doesn't mean you have to sit in a lotus posture an hour every morning and that's the only way to meditate. You might enjoy a moving meditation or chanting or beautiful music in the background. There's many ways to create the right environment for meditation to happen. In other words, eliminating enough distractions so that you're able to be present with what's going on inside you, as well as what's happening in the outer world.
I've always thought that when I am meditating, if I'm getting bigger than the way you described it, that you're outside your body actually observing, I am called to feelings as a path to healing, as a direct portal. Because on the other side of whatever that pain is or that trauma is the same state you're talking about. There's complete non-duality. There's complete freedom. So it's almost like the way when I hear you describe going out energetically, there's a way to do it in the body as well.
Absolutely, yes. And that's, I use the heart and solar plexus. Of course, we have other chakras and energy centers in the body, but the heart and solar plexus seem to be the most powerful for feeling deeply the truth of things instead of just knowing the truth up in the head. For 20 years, I was about knowing the truth up in my head, and it wasn't until the second 20 years of my path that I really started to feel the truth more. Now I have this deep inner knowing that I'm directly connected to God. It's not that I have to convince myself.
It's not a conversation. It's just an is. This is how it is.
Yeah. And it's actually impossible to actually be separate from God. We can believe we're separate from God, and that is the cause of all misery and suffering. If you go deep enough into it, you'll find that that's at the root of all misery and suffering, the belief that we're separate from God. We're putting ourselves in an impossible situation because it's impossible to be separate from God, and yet we believe it, and beliefs are powerful.
Which means we're also feeling separate from each other, because that's how we have our experience of God through connection.
And I was raised as a scientist. My folks are atheists, and I came on this more directly. I didn't go through the Bible or through some religion. And science is basically saying we're all one, the non-locality principle of quantum physics. If you research it deeply enough, it comes to the same conclusion as the mystics and saints.
Do you want to give them a Coles note of the non-locality What is it? Non-localized.
The non-locality principle of quantum physics. And my new book, The Mystery of Time, actually applies the non-locality principle to the realm of time, not just space. That basically says not only are we one with everything in creation spatially, but we're also one with every time period in creation. Now, that's a hard one to wrap your head around.
But that's so cool. So they're all still happening. It's happening right now.
Everything is happening now in this eternal now moment. And again, there's many philosophies that back that up, what science is saying here, that you know, I have a past self 1,000 years ago. That's happening right now. I have a future self 1,000 years from now. That's happening right now. And there's other principles, of course, like the uncertainty principle, which basically says I can choose different possible timelines. I can choose to create this direction or I can go this direction. They all exist right now, but I can choose to place my focus on a particular one, which becomes what we call the dominant timeline, you know, the one that you can record and say, okay, on this day, I lifted a drink.
At 6:23 p.m.
Yes.
Tell us, was the book channeled or was that Sal?
It's a combination. I work as a collaboration with the founders. In the latest book, I have little dissertations from the founders kind of woven into the main material, which is more kind of a composite of everything I've learned over the last 40 years. You know, some of it comes directly from the founders or from my other spirit guides, and some of it comes through my higher self and gets filtered down into the conscious mind. Because I don't see any real separation, it's a collaborative effort.
All right. Is it experiential when someone's reading it, or are they getting knowledge that they can apply directly as they're reading?
Well, that's the intention of the workshops, especially. I can't say for sure that when somebody's reading the material, they're having that experience, but the workshops are designed to give people that experience, whether it's the channelings that we do or the meditations or even the talking portion, which thankfully is not a large part of the workshops. People do come away feeling expanded, and it's not even enough to feel expanded. They need to have something tangible in their own lives that's, you know, to me, if this isn't practical, then it's pretty much a waste of time. I mean, okay, it's interesting. I had these past lives. I've been to these planets, you know, all that. Okay, interesting. But does it help you become a better human being? Because if it's not practical to life on planet Earth, then it has limited value. So we really stress the practicality of this.
And I want to, in the second half of the show, I want to dig into exactly what people would expect Friday night, Saturday night. So let's just save that for a second. But I want to tap into, you're a musician, right? That's a part of what you do. And
yes.
I was curious if when you're creating music, if that channel, if you could use that word, is the same channel that you're accessing information.
Well, if you want to say that I'm channeling my higher self, then I would say it's the same channel because it all comes through my higher self and into my hands if I'm playing piano or keyboard. It's more or less spontaneous. I don't plan out in advance what I'm going to play or record. It just comes through me. And, you know, I haven't done a lot of recordings because the spiritual counseling and the workshops has really taken center stage. So the music is kind of almost a sideline at this point. But I have created a couple of CDs, and now I do mostly MP3 downloads and things like that.
And where could people take a... Well, we're going to play a track, which you're going to tell us about in a minute. But if people wanted to access your book, your music, where would they
Everything
do that?
Is on my website, www.salrachelle.com, and it's SalrachelE.com. One L, not two, like Rochelle. So make sure you don't make that mistake. And everything's there.
Okay. I'm just wondering, a person who's extremely visual, right? As you know, there's some people who are visual, some are auditory, some are kinesthetic. I think those who are kinesthetic actually have an easier time of having a experience they can trust of their spirituality because you can literally feel it.
Yes.
I mean, you can feel the tingle. You can feel that connection. It's a pretty intense experience. Whereas visuals tend, and I've worked with people, and they say, well, I can see it, but I can't feel it. Mm-hmm. And then, therefore, they discount it almost. I'm just wondering if you've got a way in, or if you yourself perhaps were a visual or are a visual, and have some tricks there for someone who, yep, they buy, they understand it mentally, but they don't feel it.
Well, years ago, I taught a course on developing your psychic and intuitive abilities, and I'm bringing it back. Actually, I'm going to start doing it again this later this year, because there are some specific techniques you can use to develop either clairsentience, which is feeling, clairaudience, which is hearing, or clairvoyance, which is seeing. And most of the people I work with are actually more kinesthetic, clairsentient, feeling-oriented. Not as many are clairvoyant. And I get a lot of people come to me who want to develop their clairvoyance. Mm. So I have various techniques for assisting with that. But certainly, it's where you place your focus. If your focus is on learning to be more sensitive on a feeling level, then yes, you'll develop that. It's like anything, you have to practice.
But literally, what would you say to someone who's sitting there going, they're going into a meditation, they're going into a guided meditation, and they're saying, well, I see it, but I don't feel it.
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is get them to breathe deeply. Mm-hmm. Breath is one of the secrets of life, and I don't just mean literally keeping you alive. You can experiment around with different breathing techniques and open up some of your psychic senses and your feeling ability just through breathing. It seems so simple, but yes, there's Kriya Yoga, pranayamas, rebirthing, primal therapy. There's lots of different techniques of breathing. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to experiment with breath, because breath takes you more into the body, and you start having a more feeling, energetic experience of truth instead of just talking about it or thinking about it.
Right. So this track of music we're going to play, do you want to tell us about it?
Well, it's called The Land of Pan. It actually has a synthetic pan flute with keyboard, synthesizer keyboard, piano sounds. And it just came spontaneously in the studio. But Pan was the first major civilization, or Pangaea is another name for it, on the Earth. It was about 10 million years ago. Yes, I said 10 million. Mm-hmm. There's a few archaeologists that are starting to acknowledge that we've been around far longer than the mainstream view. So the Land of Pan will take you back 10 million years.
You're listening to Conscious Living Radio, 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Co-op Radio.
Thank you.
You're listening to Conscious Living Radio, 100.5 FM in Vancouver. I'm Tasha Sims, here with Mark Caron and our guest, Sal Raquel. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So Sal's in town for a couple of workshops. We're going to tell you about them in just a moment. But first, let's hear a little bit more about your timeline healing, which is a modality that you developed to work with traumas and past wounding.
Yes, it actually came to me from my guides, the Arcturians, a different set of guides than the founders. And it came, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago. Maybe it was a little further than that, but I started applying it 5 or 6 years ago. And now we have trainings all over the world. We train people how to become timeline healers. We're going to probably come back to Vancouver and do a training here. Since I'm not well known here in Vancouver, we want to just kind of test the waters with my, I guess you'd call it, bread and butter workshop, which is soul integration. But timeline healing is a powerful therapy, and it does involve healing not only the child traumas from childhood, but also from past lifetimes. So, you know, traditional psychotherapy doesn't go nearly so deep. They work just in this lifetime and usually don't have a very spiritual focus, most psychotherapists. But in this, we also deal with the subtle bodies, the astral, etheric, and causal levels of the self to go along with the physical, emotional, and mental. So I call those the 6 lower bodies. Now, this is not to be confused with the 4 lower worlds or the worlds of Maya that we talked about earlier. These models are not perfect because we have a model of 4 and a model of 6. The model of 6 basically differentiates the physical, emotional, and mental as levels 1, 2, and 3, and the astral, etheric, and causal bodies, levels 4, 5, and 6. And timeline healing works on all 6 levels. And we don't have time tonight to go into the technical details of how that is done, but I will say that timeline healing combines elements of past life regression, hypnotherapy, and soul retrieval work. And it's blended with several other healing techniques, including forgiveness work and visualization and many other tools. So it's a comprehensive modality.
And is that something that's for Friday night? Will that be part of the workshop on Friday or not?
Actually, in Vancouver, that's going to be part of the personal sessions.
Okay.
Because I have various ways I can incorporate timeline healing into a therapy and counseling session, as well as psychic readings. Mm-hmm. In a personal session, you do get some psychic and clairvoyant reading, maybe a third to a quarter of the session is sort of more of the, along the lines of clairvoyant reading. And then spiritual counseling is throughout the session, how to move into your spiritual awareness. And then for healing the dramas, the traumas, the blocks, the obstacles, the things that get in our way, timeline healing, I can do a 10-minute version, a 20-minute version, a full session version, depending on what the client needs. So that's where I will be using timeline healing in Vancouver on this trip. Maybe if I come back, let's say next year sometime, I may do a full training in Vancouver if there's enough interest in it.
Mm-hmm. And so let's get into the workshops. Friday night, it's from 6:30 to 9:30 at the YWCA. Tell us what's happening that night.
Well, it's about self-empowerment. And what exactly do we need to do as human beings to manifest our God-given power? Now, power has become a dirty word in our society. And it's understandable. We look at those so-called people in power, and many of them are abusing their power. Mm-hmm. And we say, oh, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be power hungry. You know, I don't want to be, I just want to be a peaceful, relaxed, laid back kind of person, you know, loving God, loving my neighbor. I don't want to deal with all this power stuff. So that is the main thing with power. So it's a dirty word for a lot of us. And in the Friday evening, we are going to demystify power a little bit. We're going to make friends with power. And we're going to go into exactly why we give our power away to authorities, for example, the church, the state, the parents, the whoever, you know, fill in the blank on the authority figure. And we're trained that way. We're trained to fit in to the status quo, to not to challenge those in power. Oftentimes we get in trouble if we try to directly challenge those in power, whether it's through protests or something like that. No, we're not really talking about that. We're talking about knowing that the power and presence of God expresses through us. Now, many of the listeners have heard that expression. It's a cliche. But to actually have that as a, mm-hmm. as a tangible experience, mm-hmm. the power and presence of God is expressing through this body-mind-personality complex.
And they'll feel that on Friday.
We're going to have a meditation, a powerful meditation, where we get to do some actual work to help our planet.
And I know we have two free tickets for that. Is it for that one? No, for the self-empowerment workshop.
Yes.
Coming up. And how about we say, anyone who wants free tickets to the self-empowerment workshop, which is March 2nd, email Mark. And you can do that at support@consciouslivingnetwork.net. How about we say the first person who does that and says, well, my hit is to say, tell us what you love about yourself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Make them work for it.
That should be easy. Come on, we just had Valentine's.
You'd think it would be easy, but so few of us really love ourselves in a healthy way.
It's true. support@consciouslivingnetwork.net. And first person will get free tickets for two to go to that workshop. So now tell us about the self-empowerment workshop.
You mean the soul integration?
The soul integration.
Yeah, we're having a weekend of soul integration. And you'll have to tell them where that is, since I don't know Vancouver.
Yep. So Soul Integration is at Rhodes Wellness College, and that will be from 9:30 to 6:30 on Saturday, March 3rd, Sunday, March 4th. And Rhodes Wellness College is in Vancouver at 1125 Howe Street, Suite 280. Is actually where I teach.
Yes.
It's a beautiful space, actually. You'll enjoy it.
So soul integration is, again, based on self-empowerment. It's based on the idea, because in the Bible it says faith can move mountains, and it says we're created in the image and likeness of God. And that implies that we are all powerful, omnipotent, whatever word you want to use for it. But how come so many of us are struggling just to make it in this world? We can't seem to get along with our spouses in many cases, or we have trouble paying our bills, or we have health problems, or whatever it is. You know, why is there such a dichotomy between what we're told is the truth about ourselves and what our daily experience is in reality? Well, that question is going to be explored on Friday night also. But the real reason is because we're conflicted within. We have all these parts, and for the sake of simplicity, I've divided them into six aspects: physical, emotional, mental, astral, etheric, and causal. And when they are all working together to create what we truly desire in our life, we become literally unstoppable. We manifest our powerful creative self. But when they are at odds with each other, working at cross purposes, then we dissipate our energy. We become seemingly powerless. And so soul integration is about, how do you line up these six aspects of self with level seven of ourself, which is the soul essence, the actual spark of divinity that we've been taught is the soul. That's level seven of our being, and we have these six levels which are contained within the soul. The nature of aspects is that they're bubbles within bubbles within bubbles, like sets and subsets. So our six lower bodies are contained within our seventh density soul.
Is it important for the soul to receive these parts in order to kind of integrate and have an experience of a whole?
It's important for the soul to communicate with these aspects of self, but more importantly, these aspects have to align themselves with soul so the energy of soul can come through these six aspects. I use the analogy of a combination padlock. Imagine it has six little locking mechanisms, and you have to line up all six of them before you can open the padlock.
Right.
And it's a lot like that. If you have all the parts lined up, then you can access directly the higher self, which right. begins at level seven, the soul.
And who's doing the lining up?
Well, okay, that's a good one. We are 12-dimensional beings. We have 12 dimensions within us. So the six higher levels we call the higher self. The six lower levels we call the lower self. So most of the time, we're turning it over to our ego, which is the lower self, and the ego makes a mess of things. Right. That's the nature of right. the ego. Even though it's ultimately an illusion, in this world, it seems very real, and it's certainly capable of putting us into doubt and fear and getting us caught in our belief systems and our dramas and traumas and all that. So listening to the ego is what creates the problem. Listening to the higher self, or asking the higher self to essentially intervene in our lives, you know, in recovery we'd say, well, God intervened in my life, and that's now I'm on a path of recovery. So we're in essence, we're not saying the higher self is equivalent to God, but we're saying the higher self represents the higher six levels of the 12 level self.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little more involved than we can go into tonight. That's why we have a whole weekend to explore this.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to lay a foundation, and then we're going to have the founders come through, conscious channeling. It's not a deep trance where I go away and they just take over. I'm co-creating with them. So it's a blend of the founders and my own mm-hmm. higher self mm-hmm. that'll be coming through in the channeled sessions. And then we'll have some deep guided meditations where you get to have a more direct experience of the material that we cover in the workshop. Without the meditations, it can still devolve into more of an intellectual exercise,
mm-hmm.
which is definitely not the intention. Mm-hmm. We want to go beyond the intellect, and we will go beyond the intellect.
And they'll have tools to take home.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is the practical piece you were talking about earlier.
And it'll be recorded, and people can take the recordings home with them and apply them.
Mm-hmm. So we've got information, if you missed it, if you're listening, if you're driving or in a bit of a haze and you want to hear this again, you can go on consciouslivingradio.org, and all of this information will be there as well. So we've still got a few minutes, and you know, I'm kind of torn. Part of me wants to talk about relationship. Part of me wants to ask you about the future of Vancouver or Canada or this world. Where do I go? Let me see.
Well, let me make it easier for you, because
okay.
on the Friday night, we started out these Friday nights as more like Earth Changes events in the beginning. And they were kind of with prophecy and what's likely to happen in the coming years, in this case in the Vancouver area, as well as the world. And then I realized that this was of limited value if we didn't really address the self-empowerment issue. Because unless we can get in touch with our inner power, we're not very effective at changing this world. You know, mm-hmm. We become like we have a messiah complex or something, and we're trying to force people to change. You know, that's ego. You know, we get stuck in the ego, you know, our righteous soapbox, you know, pedestal thing where we're standing up there preaching, you know, and then maybe not even following our own teachings. That's all ego. We don't want to go there. So that's not what we do to change the world. Changing the world involves empowering ourselves. It involves connecting with our higher self, connecting with God, becoming centered, becoming powerful, creating from the inside out rather than trying to get things from the world. We are a source within ourselves, and we radiate that source out into the world through us, through the center of our being outward. So life is about going from the inside out, not about getting things from mm-hmm. the outside in.
Right.
That comes from lack and scarcity consciousness. That's all ego.
Right. Now, do you have a hit about Vancouver? that you want to share with our listeners, even though it may be of limited value?
Well, you know, we could go into different realms. We could talk about the geophysical and about how Vancouver is along the Ring of Fire and that there could be earthquakes and volcanoes, although I'm not familiar with any volcanoes immediately around Vancouver, but I know if you go a little ways up, there are some. Or we could talk about the economy and what's likely to happen to the Canadian economy and the world economy. And there's many other levels we could talk about also, the political situation, whether there's going to be a world war, things like that. All of that we don't have time to talk about tonight. That's why we may cover a little bit of that on the Friday night.
Okay.
Again, we're not going to spend the entire time talking about prophecy. But I will say that this is an exciting time. We are living in the time known as apocalypse. And the word apocalypse means an age of revelation, a time when all shall be revealed. And this is why there are so many things coming to light these days, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so things like what I'm doing are becoming more and more closer to mainstream. I wouldn't say it's mainstream, but it's closer to mainstream. And people are beginning disillusioned with the status quo, and they're looking for answers. They're looking for another way to see reality than the way they've been taught to view reality. So that's what the word apocalypse literally means. It doesn't mean Armageddon. It doesn't mean death and destruction, doom and gloom. Yes, there will be upheavals. It's inevitable that as we grow and evolve, as we grow and evolve, there's going to be upheavals. You know, cherished beliefs are going to fall by the wayside. You know, we used to believe that, oh no, our governments could never become corrupt in the U.S. or Canada. Well, guess what? Now that we have the internet and we have social media, we're getting to find out that, hey, it's...
Do you have information on Trump? Got an inside line there? What's going to happen?
Well, I don't want to get too political, except that I got a strong message that Trump was the lesser of two evils, that the lady, I'd love to see a lady president, by the way, but Hillary would have been really bad news. We probably would be in a third world war by now if she had gotten elected. But the Republicans and the Democrats both are part of the problem because we have not learned how to empower ourselves. We have not learned to become our own authorities. So we rely on a Democrat or a Republican or a Labor Party or whatever you have here in Canada. And we give our power to them and we expect them to perform miracles for us. And very few of them, many of them go in with good intentions, but very few of them are able to handle the constant influence from lobbyists and corporations and, you know, I don't want to go into the long list of bad influences that our politicians are subject to, but it's a very difficult job, and very few of them can remain in personal integrity in those positions. Trump has a huge ego. And he's bowing to the state in many ways. He's got an attorney general, which, you know, he's a beautiful, divine human being, but he's absolutely awful in the position of attorney general and should be fired immediately. And whether Trump is keeping him on because people in the shadows are telling him to keep him on, or whether he's just not aware of how awful Mr. Sessions is. I mean, that's just one example. I don't know much about Trudeau. I know he's very controversial. People either love him or hate him.
Love over here. What can we do?
Well, again, that's what this work is about. We can, first of all, learn to love the people in power, not love what they do or love their behavior, but Mr. Trump and Mr. Trudeau, they need lots of love and compassion. We need to send them love and compassion. They will do so much better if they're receiving love and compassion instead of hatred. And I don't care who's in office, they need our love and compassion. It's that simple. And that will unify and bring countries and people together if we can at least, we don't have to like their behavior. Some of their behavior might be awful, but we need to send love and compassion.
You had said, we were off air when we were talking about good questions, and you said you like asking how you can tell. Maybe
how do you tell the difference between the ego and the higher
self? That's right. How can you tell where you're coming from, the ego?
And I'll give you the semi-short version since we don't have a lot of time. Every time you have a decision to make in your life, ask yourself, what is the motivation behind this decision? If it's to acquire something from outside of yourself because you feel lacking in some way, that's coming from ego. If it's simply a desire to share yourself with others so that they may be uplifted, then it's coming from higher self. That's the short, simple version. Of course, it's more complicated than that, but that's enough to get started with that question. Now, ego is necessary in this world until we learn how to evolve beyond the need for food and water, for example. We're going to be thinking about what's for dinner or what are we going to do to acquire food for this body and things like that. That's ego. It's acquiring something from outside of ourselves in order to fill a perceived lack, which might be a lack of food, a lack of nutrients. So that's the way it is on this planet. There's going to be some necessary need for ego. But when it comes to personal relationships and our work on this planet, we can start coming more from the desire to uplevel people, to lift people, to awaken people to their higher self, to their magnificence.
Mm-hmm. And with our remaining 2 minutes, what's your wish or your heartfelt? I mean, maybe just like wing it. Go wherever you want to go, but find what message you feel you want to offer our listeners right now.
Well, the message is very simple. For people to awaken to who they really are, to realize that we are not our story, we are not our personal identity. That is totally fabricated by the mind. It's just like believing we are the passport. How ridiculous that would be. And yet that's what it's like. So to wake up enough to take our power back from the so-called power elite, which ultimately it's an illusion. You know, if somebody has to force other people to do their bidding, that's coming from a sense of lack, a sense of powerlessness. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need big armies to force people to do this, you know. That's not power. True power does not force anybody to do anything. We're not trying to control people or make people do things. True power is the knowledge and the certainty that we are created in the image and likeness of God, that we have this tremendous power within us, and we don't have to try and force anybody to do anything in order to feel powerful.
Fantastic. Loved having you here. Once again, Friday, March 2nd at the YMCA Hotel. It'll be an evening event for a couple of hours. And if you haven't already emailed, if you're listening and you want some free tickets, we've got two to give away. support@consciouslivingnetwork.net. And then on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday at Rhodes Wellness College, Soul Integration. It really promises to be a jam-packed, enlightening weekend.
Well, I'm looking forward to sharing my experiences with Vancouver.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good evening.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio. For free show downloads, additional information about our guests and topics, or details about upcoming programs, check us out at consciouslivingradio.org.